Grand On Stage presents the Hot Sardines.
By mere Mr. Shay, please let me explain.
Performing songs from their latest album, C'est la Vie, a bilingual blend of original jazz songs and timeless standards. The Hot Sardines, Friday, October 4th at Kingston Grand Theater. Tickets for the Hot Sardines and the rest of the Grand On Stage season are on sale now at kingstongrand.ca.
Tune in Sundays at 11 p.m. for Orchestral Maneuvers After Dark with me, DJ Squared. Each episode features a great mix of new and vintage, Canadian and international, new wave, punk, post-punk, garage rock, pop, electronica, ambient, and even the occasional remix. Sweet beats are in store for all to enjoy. Join in the fun, OMD, every Sunday at 11 right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Good morning. It is 11 a.m. on Friday, September 20th, and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and this is Kingston Currents. CFRC's news programming is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Starting us off, we have an important message from Sexual Violence Prevention and Response Services at Queen's University. SVPRS is spreading the word that it is Consent Week at Queen's University. This week, we're coming together to address sexual and gender-based violence and the systems of oppression that fuel it. Consent Week is a call to action for everyone to create a safer, more inclusive campus rooted in respect and solidarity. On Friday, September 20th, wrap up Consent Week with Swing Dance Night at Banry Hall, Fireside Lounge. Doors open at 6:45 p.m. with a beginner lesson at 7 p.m. and social dancing at 8 p.m. Swing dancing highlights consent. Partners ask each other to dance and no is always respected. No experience or partner needed. For more information, you can visit their website under events or follow them on Instagram at QUSVPRS. We also have a few messages directly from the City of Kingston this evening. Join the city this weekend for the Intercultural Arts Festival presented by Empire Life in Confederation Park, 225 Ontario Street. This will be on Sunday, September 22nd. Opening ceremonies start at 11:45 a.m. and programming will run until 7 p.m. The festival is delivered by the city in collaboration with the community and is a celebration of cultural diversity here in Kingston. Enjoy free, family-friendly activities, including live music and dance performances, workshops, international food, and artisan markets and cuisine. Bring your appetite for food by vendors like Thai Street Food, Q-Bite, Dal Roti, Ella's Cuisine, El Gringo Tacos, and Dr. Shawarma. Experience arts and cultural performances on the main stage, including hip-hop with Francophone MC, Le Flow Franco, reggae, and dance hall with Gravel G and Yuntrax, and samba with T. Batu. Then put on your dancing shoes and participate in dance workshops, including bachata, salsa, Scottish country dancing, and more. The festival also includes the Cataract Way Indigenous Art and Food Market that showcases local Indigenous artisans, crafters, and chefs. For a full list of activities, vendors, and performances, you can visit the event page on the city's website. Vanessa Mensa, Manager of Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion at the City of Kingston, states, quote, "This festival is a testament to our city's diversity and the collaborative spirit of our community and showcases the unique cultures and traditions that make Kingston a vibrant tapestry of experiences. By bringing together people from all walks of life, the Intercultural Arts Festival not only celebrates our shared heritage, but also fosters a deep understanding and appreciation of one another. It's a joyful reminder of what we can achieve when we come together to honor and embrace our differences." End quote. Jennifer McGregor, Vice President of Human Resources at Empire Life, states, quote, "Empire Life is proud to serve as the presenting sponsor of this year's Intercultural Arts Festival. We look forward to celebrating the rich diversity of our city and promoting an inclusive community that values all cultures, experiences, and backgrounds." End quote. Once again, be sure to attend the Intercultural Arts Festival presented by Empire Life at Confederation Park this Sunday all day. In another message from the city, Kingston Cooperative Homes completes a new affordable housing project on Princess Street. Kingston Cooperative Homes is proud to announce the successful completion of a new affordable housing development in the city. The project was made possible with more than $4 million in capital funding from the City of Kingston and the contribution of land acquired by the city for affordable housing. It also benefited from capital funding dollars from the Province of Ontario and the Government of Canada. The development, located at 1336 Princess Street, includes 38 affordable units and provides a range of rental fees. The three-story building was occupied in May 2024 and provides much-needed affordable housing in Kingston. On September 18th, Kingston Cooperative Homes hosted an opening event to recognize the achievement. Dirk Dober, president of Kingston Cooperative Homes, states, quote, "We are thrilled to see this project come to fruition and to welcome our new members. This development not only provides affordable housing, but also bolsters the sense of community, which is the heart of our co-op," end quote. Mayor Brian Patterson states, quote, "The new affordable housing project is a significant achievement for our city, and I commend Kingston Cooperative Homes for their dedication and vision. By turning a vacant lot into a vibrant community, we are not only providing homes, but also strengthening who we are as a city. This collaboration reflects our shared commitment to ensuring that all residents have access to safe and affordable housing," end quote. Kingston Cooperative Homes is a member-driven organization dedicated to providing affordable housing in Kingston. Established in 1985 with 86 townhouses located at 1338 Princess Street, the co-op has since expanded to provide a total of 140 homes. Once again, that was the latest update from the city on Kingston Cooperative Homes and their new affordable housing project on Princess Street. The City of Kingston and Utilities Kingston invite you to the Kingston Climate Expo. The City of Kingston is excited to announce the inaugural Kingston Climate Expo, presented by Utilities Kingston, taking place October 3rd to 20th, 2024. This three-week interactive and educational event will showcase various climate change initiatives across Kingston, including efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and will provide opportunities to learn about reducing personal carbon footprints. All expo events are free of charge thanks to the support from sponsors and community members. David Fell, president and CEO of Utilities Kingston, states, quote, "Real change begins in our own backyard, and each of us has a vital part to play. The Kingston Climate Expo is a gathering point for our community, highlighting our shared efforts and offering an inspiring space to learn, engage, and spark your own commitment to climate action. We're proud to support this community event and invite you to join us and help lead the way to a more sustainable Kingston," end quote. The expo kicks off at the Invista Center, where Plug and Drive will be hosting their mobile electric vehicle education trailer from October 3rd to 20th. Join an interactive showcase of educational information and test drive some of the latest electric vehicle models from leading manufacturers. Bring the whole family to 945 Princess Street for the Climate Expo showcase on Saturday, October 5th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. 945 Princess Street is a newly renovated, near-net-zero building that prioritizes decarbonization. The building has been updated by Modern Niagara to foster discovery and experimentation while increasing environmental responsibility and contributing to the region's climate goals. This engaging and informative event is free and open to all and provides the opportunity to meet local businesses and organizations who are leading the way on sustainability in Kingston. Event highlights include community booths, engage with local experts who can help you reduce your personal carbon footprint at home and contribute to climate action in our community. Presentation, City of Kingston Climate Initiatives. Discover the city's climate initiatives across municipal facilities, transit, transport, and climate leadership. Panel, local food circularity. Hear from experts on sustainable food systems, growing food traditionally, local food rescue, and more. Low carbon building tours, tour 945 Princess Street. Home to RxN Hub, a not-for-profit organization dedicated to supporting clean tech innovation. And learn more about eco-friendly construction practices. Eco Storytime by Kingston Frontenac Public Library. Bring the kids for a special eco-themed storytime session, courtesy of the Kingston Frontenac Public Library. Queen's Department of Chemistry will also be doing magic demonstrations throughout the day. Russell Horn, Acting Manager of Energy and Asset Management at the City of Kingston, states, quote, "We are thrilled to offer this opportunity for our community to engage with and learn about the important climate initiatives and sustainability efforts happening right here in Kingston. The Kingston Climate Expo is a chance for residents to get involved, make informed choices, and contribute to a more sustainable future," end quote. Additional events. Industry professionals are invited to join the Green Horizons Low Carbon Solutions for Business presentation on Thursday, October 4th, to learn more about project funding sources that are available for decarbonization efforts. On Thursday, October 10th, Utilities Kingston and SLC are hosting an empowering panel discussion focusing on women in STEM. The panel will feature speakers who will share their experiences and insights on navigating STEM careers, highlighting the importance of creating inclusive work environments that encourage participation from all backgrounds. Students will also have the opportunity to get in on the fun as part of the Energy Treasure Hunt workshop. Staff from Sustainable Kingston and the City of Kingston's Energy and Asset Management team will be stopping by local schools on October 15th to 18th to teach students how to find energy waste in their homes. To learn more about the October 5th showcase and other Climate Expo events, you can visit the City of Kingston's website. Now, a week after the incident in the Bell Park encampment that took two lives, it has been announced that the Integrated Care Hub will remain closed for the time being. Last Thursday, a 47-year-old Kingston man identified as Andre Wareham killed two men and seriously injured one person in a violent attack at the encampment. The location of the incident and the proximity of the site to consumption and treatment services and the Integrated Care Hub at 661 Montreal Street immediately sparked a community conversation. On the day of the incident, Mayor Brian Patterson posted a statement on social media calling for the closure of the ICH, stating, quote, "We need to clear the encampment, close this safe injection site, and the ICH until we can find a better way to support our most vulnerable residents," end quote. While Kingston Police conducted their investigation, the Integrated Care Hub had to be closed along with a portion of Montreal Street. With the investigation complete, yesterday it was announced by the city and community agencies providing services at the ICH that the closure at 661 Montreal Street has been extended. To quote, "take appropriate time to assess required changes to ensure service improvements and enhance safety for all," end quote. Carol Ravnos, Executive Director of Client Services with the ICH, spoke to the closure and the community response in an interview with CFRC earlier this week prior to the announcement of this extended closure.
I think the community response has been one of sadness and shock that this incident occurred, and concerned about the fact that we need to keep it as safe as possible. So I think those are the themes that have been expressed by people, as people are in different ways. I think there has been huge compassion though for the homeless population, the individuals who need the services of the ICH, who are looking for care and support. And so I do think that it was one of shock, and we've seen some variance in response based on that. But I feel that people are now saying, you know, how can we make it as safe as possible, but recognizing that these services are indeed needed, and this is a population that is very vulnerable and needs our support. I just do have to pause and acknowledge that two people lost their lives and one other person has been critically injured, and our hearts go out to the families of those folks and to their peers and their friends at the ICH. But the staff have been, we're multi-agencies working together, and those staff haven't stopped. They've continued to assist. They've continued to work day and night to support people who are now living elsewhere. And so they're trying to take care of their food needs, their medical needs, their mental health needs. The staff have been incredible, and we certainly are doing our best to support them, because we're concerned that they have just switched into another gear, mm-hmm. and their hearts are always at the forefront of the work they do, but they've continued to just work hard, and we have arranged some supports, and we will continue to do that and be mindful of supporting those amazing people on the front line who continue, despite these circumstances, to take care of the people that need them.
Just moving forward, of course, this incident didn't occur inside the hub, but I was wondering if you could speak to looking forward in the future. Is there moves to improve safety in the future for folks at the encampment and at the ICH?
I think that's been part of an ongoing discussion and working with the city and our partners and the police, who have been stellar in all of this around steps forward, but also increasing the mental health supports and the services that are required. This is a population that is at the intersection of some of the most challenging social needs that we've seen, probably for most of us in our lifetime, the intersection of poverty and homelessness and a toxic drug supply and mental health and addiction concerns. And really all of those knit together are huge challenges. So certainly we will work to look at where do we go from here, and with partners, how do we make this as safe as possible?
Kingston Police and the city have dispelled rumors circulating that the encampment at Bell Park is being cleared and that the ICH is closing permanently. In yesterday's release, it was reiterated that this is not a permanent closure and that the ICH will, quote, reopen safely, end quote. There has not been a timeline provided for when the ICH will reopen. No new information has been released regarding the investigation, the motivation behind the attack still unknown. The Integrated Care Hub and their partners are continuing to provide support and engaging in street outreach while their space is closed. KFLNA Addiction and Mental Health Services crisis lines are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 613-544-4229. The Kingston Film Heritage Project and Vulnerable Media Lab have partnered to bring a Home Movie Day event to Kingston in October. Home Movie Day has been an annual celebration of home movies and immature films held at venues worldwide since 2003. Started by a group of film archivists concerned about what would happen to all the home movies shot on film during the 20th century. The event gives community members an opportunity to see their films on the big screen, as well as have their memories digitized for free. Home Movie Day events also often include tips for preserving films. It was announced that Saturday, October 19th, will be the inaugural event for Kingston, taking place at the Screening Room. All proceeds for this event will also be going towards All Our Relations Land Trust, a charitable organization led by Indigenous peoples committed to supporting and protecting the environment in the Kingston area. The theme for films this year is transience. To learn more about this first-time event for the city, CFRC sat down with organizer Adam Cook. Here is a bit of that conversation. This year, the Kingston Film Heritage Project and Vulnerable Media Lab announced Home Movie Day 2024. So this has been kind of a named event since early 2000s. What is Home Movie Day?
Yeah, Home Movie Day started over 20 years ago. Basically, a group of film archivists were concerned about what was going to happen to all the home movies shot on film specifically during the 20th century, a kind of concern that we share at the Vulnerable Media Lab, which is housed in the Film and Media Department at Queen's. And it's an annual event held around the world with different participating cities where local home movies are exhibited for a public audience. This is the inaugural edition in Kingston, and we're really excited to be the ones hosting the first ever Home Movie Day in Kingston.
Yeah, awesome. What was sort of the inspiration to bring it to Kingston, and how are you and your team feeling about spearheading this inaugural year?
Yeah, well, it comes naturally to us working in the Vulnerable Media Lab, which is a state-of-the-art historic media transfer remediation and restoration research lab. Basically, we scan, digitize, and restore various media, including celluloid film, but not limited to it, mini DV tapes, VHS, et cetera, et cetera. So we're always looking to embark on new projects internally at the lab, but also curatorially. We like to engage with the public, engage with Kingston, and specifically with the Kingston Film Heritage Project, which we've been running for some months now, we're looking to engage with the city's history, archival materials of the city, and now in the case of Home Movie Day, material produced by locals or people living here. It's okay if they're just passing through too. Our theme for the first edition is transience.
Yeah, for sure. And could you get into that theme a little bit, transience? What was the choice there, and what does that mean exactly?
Well, what it means is something that we're happy to leave to the interpretation of those curious about submitting. Transience, of course, could really be used to describe home movies and vulnerable media in general, of course, the temporary nature of things, of material, but also the passage of time. Home movies are typically linked with nostalgia, so it seemed fitting to go with the theme of transience, but we wanted to keep it as open-ended as possible to let the folks who might have some home movies up in their attic or whatever that they want to dig out, you know, some creativity when they're thinking of submitting to us.
Awesome. Yeah. And you describe this media as vulnerable. And of course, it's in the title there, Vulnerable Media Lab. I was wondering if you could get into a bit of what that means.
Yeah, well, of course, I'm sure people kind of envision celluloid film, 16 millimeter, 35 millimeter, Super 8, what have you, as being vulnerable. We know that it deteriorates over time unless it's kept in really ideal conditions. We do have our own vault, our own archive in the film and media department where we preserve a lot of different film. Actually, digital media is arguably just as vulnerable. It's a bit of a misnomer that it's celluloid film that is. So really, any kind of media, including contemporary forms of it, are all vulnerable to different forms of expiry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So I guess this event, yeah, it's about nostalgia, preservation. And yeah, are you hoping that this event will continue to be an annual thing in the future? Or are you guys just kind of rolling with it this year?
Well, ideally, yeah. I think it would be wonderful if this could be an annual event in Kingston and ongoing as part of the Kingston Film Heritage Project. What it actually turns out to be is really in the hands of the people listening to this right now. Submissions are open now, and we are open to anything, really. If people want information about how to submit their home movies, potentially have them digitized for their own posterity, and then potentially projected on the big screen, they can do so now. If they go to the Screening Room website, because that's where we will be hosting the screening, you'll find information there, or they can email me at 22ac18@queensu.ca for more information. So it's up to the people who submit their home movies what kind of content we'll get, and how much, you know, what the volume of submissions will be. Hopefully it's popular. It's important to us to keep the barriers to a minimum for this event. So it is pay what you can, with proceeds going to a charity, All Our Relations Land Trust. And we'll be accepting submissions for the rest of the month and then hosting the screening October 19th at 1 p.m. at the Screening Room.
Awesome. Yeah. And like you just said there, there's still quite a while to submit. Have you received any submissions so far? How's it looking?
Well, the submission process, we wanted to kind of make as easy as possible, both for those submitting and for ourselves. So submitting your home movie actually doesn't involve sharing your home movie with us. You just have to fill out a quick form. Honestly, it takes about 5 minutes to fill out. We just want to hear a little bit about what it is that you are thinking of submitting. And then based on that, we're going to contact a handful of people and get in touch with them about getting a hold of their home movies. And those are the ones that we'll digitize and project on October 19th.
Submissions for home movies to digitize and feature at the screening are being accepted until the end of September. You can visit screeningroomkingston.com for more details. Before we get into more local news, I'm going to turn to our weather and traffic report for today. On Friday, the 20th of September, we'll have sunny skies with a high of 26 degrees and clear skies at night with a low of 16. Looking forward to this weekend, on Saturday, the 21st of September, we have a mix of sun and cloud and a high of 25. At night, we'll have clear skies and that temperature is going to drop down to 15 degrees. Finally, finishing off the week on Sunday, September 22nd, we'll have sunny skies with a high of 24 degrees. Sunday night, cloudy periods with a low of 11. That wraps up your quick weather report, and next up is your CFRC traffic report. For your CFRC traffic report headed into the weekend, to start us off, PSPC wishes to advise users that the LaSalle Causeway is still fully closed to motorists, cyclists, and pedestrians until further notice. In other road closures to look out for, Albert Street, Princess to 486 Albert, closed until December 31st to accommodate construction activity. Cooper Street, Albert to Collingwood, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. For project details, you can visit Get Involved Kingston. Hillcrest Avenue, Kings Court to 7th, closed until October 31st for buried infrastructure replacement. Kings Court Avenue, Hillcrest to Kirkpatrick, closed until November 15th to accommodate a water main replacement. King Street, Plast Arms to North End of King, closed until September 30th for the construction of new storm and roadbed. Road will be open to local traffic. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen, closed until September 27th for downtown Kingston BIA activations. Union Street, Victoria to Albert, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. For project details, you can visit Get Involved Kingston. Finally, University Avenue, Union to Earl, closed for construction related to the Queen's J-Duck project. In parking disruptions, the Hanson Memorial Parking Structure Restoration Project is still underway and is expected to conclude in late December 2024. The work will be completed in phases to allow the building to remain open to public parking for the duration of the project. It is anticipated that no more than 50% of the available 271 parking spaces will be closed at any time. There is also parking availability at the Chan Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages and the two adjacent blocks to the west. In other delays, Aberdeen Street, Johnson to Earl expect delays and closures along Aberdeen Street for a contractor to complete road and sewer reconstruction. Bay Ridge Drive, Princess to Taylor Kidd. Expect delays while a contractor begins phase two of the Bay Ridge Drive active transportation upgrades. Collins Bay Road, Prince Charles Edwin to Princess. Expect delays while a contractor completes phase two of the Princess and Collins Bay active transportation improvements. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford. Expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abidjan to St. Lawrence, expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abidjan Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. To learn more about any of these projects, you can visit Get Involved Kingston. That concludes your weather and traffic report for this morning. Now back to more local news. Why It's Possible, a show written by Kingston's Sophia Fabili, is set to make its world premiere at the Kingston Grand Theatre tonight. Directed by Evelyn Perry and featuring Zoe Sweet in the lead role, the production delves into the complexities of modern parenthood. The narrative centers around Beth, a 45-year-old single mother living in her mother's basement while juggling a demanding job and the challenges of parenthood, all while her child embarks on a journey of self-discovery and explores their gender identity. The story is grounded in Limestone City, being produced and set in Kingston. The team also collaborated with Trans Family Kingston, a local support group for families who have trans kids, members offering their insight throughout the writing process. I sat down with writer Sophia Fabili to chat about premiering her first play in Kingston as a Kingston native, and the journey leading up to this big night. How long have you been writing Why It's Impossible, and how has it been leading up to this premiere week? We've been working on this project for 4 years, so it's been a long process, and that's just kind of the pace of developing New Work in Canada, seeking the grant funding, doing the script development process. But this week has been good. It's a kind of that busy tech week where we have long days and the designers are there and we're all kind of, it's a full court press. So, but things are really coming together and I'm really looking forward to opening on Friday.
Exciting. Yeah. And what can audiences expect? What are the kind of themes of the show?
Great question. I think audiences can expect a play that is about parenting in precarious times. The show is a one-woman show. It is about a mom, played by my brilliant colleague and collaborator, Zoe Sweet. And it is essentially her telling the story of raising a child who is exploring their gender identity. And so I don't think I'm spoiling too much, but basically the kind of heart of the show is that the mom is accepting of her kid's identity, but is struggling with the ways in which the world presents a lot of challenges to young people who are questioning things and exploring their identity. And so it's really about how does she kind of rise to the challenge of really supporting her kid. And I think audiences can expect, I like to write in a bit of like an irreverent tone. She talks right to the audience. The baby grand is very intimate space. So I think audiences can expect an intimate, hopefully sometimes funny, hopefully sometimes breaking, heartwarming, a little bit of everything. I would call it kind of a somewhere between comedy and drama, but that's what audiences can expect.
Awesome. Yeah. And I think it's so interesting that you started writing this 4 years ago because it feels so topical. And even like the month of September, it's like kids are going back to school. Parents are experiencing so many new things. We're in an election season and so many of these topics are coming up and it feels so current.
Absolutely. And we've often kind of commented that, you know, it felt very topical when we started exploring this, you know, this play 4 years ago. And it feels even more I don't want to say hot topic issue, but something that is very much in everyone's minds. And certainly, you know, from the beginning, we really wanted to do this topic like thoughtful and careful justice in terms of writing a story that was very carefully researched. And so we've worked really closely with a couple of amazing folks from Trans Family Kingston, which is like a trans support group for families who have trans kids. And so anyways, they have been like collaborators and cheerleaders of us and have helped us research and read the script. And so anyways, we've tried really hard. It's a very complex topic and we wanted to bring a lot of care to that. So we've tried to do our best, but I think this is just, you know, one person's story. And ultimately we need so many more stories about this topic.
Yeah, absolutely. And for you writing this play, did it come from personal experience or was it just pulling from the cultural zeitgeist of things people were talking about? Where did you get this idea?
So the very beginning started with Zoe, myself, and our other colleague, Sarah Kitts, who's now also brilliant and is now the artistic director of the Great Canadian Theatre Company in Ottawa, where we're actually bringing the play in the new year, which is very exciting. But the three of us, you know, in the pandemic, when all the theatres were closed, we all were in Kingston and Zoe was like, this is ridiculous. Like, we should be working. Let's make a play. And so we kind of started meeting in my backyard, socially distanced at a picnic table. Going, you know, what kind of story would be something if we could make our own play and craft our own story? What's something that we all really care about and are very curious about? So both Zoe and Sarah are moms of young kids. I hope to be a parent and I'm also a teacher. So I certainly, you know, have worked hard to be, you know, an ally in the school where queer kids and trans kids know that, you know, Miss Fab has a lot of like rainbow colored stuff in her classroom. So, you know, it's something that we all were kind of talking about. And the big question was, you know, how as a parent, you know, as a cisgendered parent, how do you be an incredible supportive force for your kid exploring their gender identity when, you know, when we were growing up, like these weren't really things that we went through personally, right? So that kind of generational divide. And
So yeah, that was kind of where the conversation started. And then, of course, as we started getting into it, we quickly realized we wanted to get some local trans folks supporting us. And that's where Trans Family came in. And they have been such a beautiful force of like creativity and support. So I really give them a big shout out, because I don't think the play would exist if we weren't able to work with them.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was just thinking, I was wondering if you could speak to just writing this in Kingston. And do you teach in Kingston as well?
I do teach in mm-hmm. Kingston, and I'm from Kingston originally, but I spent most of my like young, you know, university and about 10 years after that in Toronto. So I just moved back in the pandemic. So I've actually not had a play premiere here.
Oh, wow.
And so
okay.
Part of it was, you know, Zoe's also a Toronto transplant. And part of us was going, you know, we were going, we are calling Kingston home, and a lot of new plays in Canada premiere in Toronto, you know, like that's kind of the place to try to get your play, and other theaters too, but Toronto's a hot spot. And so we kind of had this goal of, why can't we do a play premiere here? Can we build a play that is specifically for Kingston audiences? And so that has really been a driving force about the whole project. And then, you know, trying to engage some, you know, other local artists like Evelyn Perry, who is our director. She's also a Toronto transplant, previous Buddies in Bad Times Theatre Artistic Director, absolute creative force, who relocated here to do her master's at Queen's. So we just, you know, we tried to kind of build a team kind of to celebrate these folks living in Eastern Ontario. And we've got some other people that we pulled in from other parts of Canada as well. But yeah, the idea was, can we do a professional play premiere here in Kingston? Why not? So there you go.
Awesome. Yeah. And I was also wondering if you could speak to just the aspect of doing a one person show. Like, that sounds very challenging. And have you done anything like this before?
I haven't. I've never written a solo show. And it's very different, because I think the part that I really love as a playwright is like the dialogue. And that's the part that I always find really fun to write. So it did take some mind bending for me to kind of figure out, how does a solo show work and how do I write in that singular voice? There are moments where Zoe inhabits other characters and we hear other characters speak, but for the most part, it's her kind of narrating things to the audience. I really am a big fan of Fleabag. I'm not sure if you've seen that, but it was originally a play and she talks right to the audience. So that was something that I used to kind of help me a little bit get inspired. But it was definitely a learning curve for me. And what we found in rehearsal is many lines that I wrote in terms of the narration can actually be acted. So in a lot of moments in rehearsal, we've just been like scratching things out. Ah, we don't need this, because Zoe's able to fill in so many of the blanks. So mm-hmm. it's been a cool process for me, and definitely a challenge. And God bless Zoe Sweet, because she is rocking out 56 pages of text. It's a lot. It's a marathon. So, but she's doing amazing.
Awesome stuff. And she'll be doing those 56 pages for a few nights coming up. I was wondering if you could speak a bit about the premiere and how folks can come watch.
Totally. So we preview the show on Thursday the 19th, and opening is on Friday the 20th, and we run until Sunday, September the 29th. Tickets are available on the Grand Theatre's website. The easiest thing to do is just type in "Why It's Possible Grand Theatre Kingston" or go onto our social media pages. We are Fab and Sweet Collective. That's or Sweet and Fab, I should say, pardon me. Zoe's last name and my name, last name. So Sweet and Fab Collective on Instagram. And there's a link in our bio there too.
Once again, that was Sophia Fabili on her show, Why It's Possible, premiering at the Kingston Grand Theatre tonight and showing through to September 29th. After my chat with Sophia, I also sat down with director Evelyn Perry to dive a bit deeper into the show. Here's our conversation.
I was wondering if you could speak a bit to the beginnings of this show during COVID, up until now, working with the three of you as a team.
The original team had another director on board, Sarah Kitts, who's now the artistic director at the Great Canadian Theatre Company in Ottawa. So she got that job sometime after she was living in Kingston when Sophia and Zoe and her started to work on the project. So I actually have been involved for about a year. I've definitely been involved in like the last layer of dramaturgical editing and thinking about the story. But yeah, there is that other collaborator, Sarah, who would have directed had she not got the job at GCTC and left the city to do that. So I'm a relative newcomer to the area. I'm from Toronto,
Mm-hmm.
and I came to Queen's to do my MA in cultural studies. So I've been in the neighborhood, and I knew Zoe, the performer from Toronto, and they reached out to me. So it's been a very collaborative process, but I haven't actually been a collaborator since the beginning.
I mean, that's really interesting, though, that all three of you, I think, are Toronto transplants.
Yeah.
Or Sophia was saying yesterday, why can't we premiere a film in Kingston? Why does it have to be Toronto or Montreal? And I was wondering if you could speak a bit about that.
Yeah, I think it's really an exciting part of when Zoe and Sophia came to me to invite me in. Yeah, they were very clear about that kind of idea of trying to make something that's really speaking to the community that it's like that it's of and for the community where it's produced. And this story, it feels like, you know, it's a very timely story, this story that's dealing with trans identity and gender and parenting. And I worked for a long time at Buddies and Bad Times Theatre in Toronto, which is a large queer theatre company. And so all of the work that we were doing, I was always, you know, both curating and making and in dialogue about work that was on a big variety of queer themes. And so this seemed to me a really interesting project for its particular perspective. And I'm always looking as a theater person, I'm always interested in like a perspective I haven't seen on stage before, something that seems like a new angle to consider, a new way into a narrative or an idea. And this project really struck me as that. I thought the idea of exploring parenting, especially at this moment where the issue of trans kids and gender non-binary kids and like a very young generation are like we're in a moment of big social change, and this issue has become so politicized and like has been turned into a wedge issue in politics and has come to represent something even larger than it is, in fact. Anyway, it seemed the angle of being a parent to a young kid who's going through this and a parent trying to navigate not only their relationship with their kid, but their relationship with their parent. So it becomes an intergenerational story, felt very resonant, very timely to, you know, things that we're hearing about in the news and things that are affecting political campaigns and also are really like damaging a lot of people's lives. And this is a long-winded answer to your question about being Toronto transplants, but I guess I say it because it feels exciting to be doing something outside of a city where, you know, the kind of, I think Kingston is a wonderful community for feeling like a very queer positive and queer friendly place to be. And I love that about it as a newcomer. And the kind of conversations around queerness and gender and stuff are always in Toronto. It feels like a particular kind of, there's a particular kind of conversation that goes on there that's different than places outside of Toronto. So for me, I was curious about what would it be like to have this conversation outside of Toronto, because I've had it inside Toronto for a long time, and I know some of the challenges and opportunities inside of that. But for me, this was a new, you know, it's a chance to make theater with some other folks who are adventurous and ambitious and like looking to do something that's trying to push in some way, push the boundaries in terms of form. I think it's quite interesting, formal, like the way this show is written is quite interesting. So this combination of things of like meeting with some other folks who are, you know, have spent their lots of their careers in Toronto, but have now wound up in Kingston and trying to make something that makes all of us excited and that we don't feel we've quite seen on stage before. All of that seemed like an interesting opportunity. So we're excited to test it out, as one does, right? In theater, it's like it exists in your imagination until it hits the audience for the first time. And then you start to understand more about it when it's actually in dialogue with a live audience.
Yeah, absolutely. What are you kind of hoping that audiences will be able to take away from it after it premieres on Friday?
I'm more curious about what they will take away. But I guess I'll say that something that I love about the script is that it's really funny as well as really emotional, and it feels like it has a wide range of is I hope that it's really going to take people on a journey. So I'm hoping people will like have some really good laughs as well as some really big feels in their hearts. Yeah, I'd say that.
Awesome. Yeah. And I was wondering, you were talking about the form there. How is it directing a one-person show? Have you ever done that before? Is this kind of new territory for you?
No, I've actually done quite a lot of work with one-person shows. So it's a particular kind of challenge and a particular kind of fun. Obviously, the challenge is, first of all, just the sort of technical and energetic challenge it is for an actor to, hold the stage for an hour and 20 minutes of a monologue, essentially, and to kind of contain. Like you don't have a chance to step off stage. Nobody, no scene partners are coming to like remind you of what's next or to give you energy. So the performer is very much in the audience kind of becomes a real playing partner for a one-person show. And I think that's an exciting dynamic of it. And in this case, as with any one-person shows, like there's lots of different characters that are in the story. So it's a really wonderful challenge for an actor to sink their teeth into. It's like how to represent multiple characters. And then another thing that happens in the show is like quite a bit of dialogue with those other characters and the main character. So how do you stage that sort of dialogue? And in the case of this show, there's a kind of storytelling format to it as well. So we're just experimenting with like how do you contain a long story that takes many twists and turns and kind of calls back to different points in time, and how do you keep things clear and moving forward and all these characters at play? Like anyway, it's there's lots of fun challenges inside of it. We have some wonderful design collaborators on this, and I hope that the staging itself gives a lot of layers of meaning, the way that the stage is designed and the way that we're using that stage in terms of the movement and the lighting and all those little choices that all add up to like give a lot of information.
Yeah, for sure. And how are you feeling leading up to the premiere on Friday?
It always comes up faster than you want it to, but I'm feeling great. I'm feeling excited, and like I said, it's like the moment when the show meets the audience is always slightly terrifying, but also really why you do it at the end of the day. It's like, so I think we're all excited for the show to meet people.
That was director Evelyn Perry of Why It's Possible, premiering tonight at the Kingston Grand Theatre.
Before we wrap up this morning, we're going to run through your Friday forecast, a roundup of all the best events and concerts Kingston has to offer this weekend. Starting off with events, you can still head to the YMCA today for their fresh food pop-up market featuring healthy food options that won't break the bank. Also tonight from 6 to 9 p.m., you can attend a Pet Bowls pottery making workshop and learn to make a custom pet bowl at Amaranth Stoneware, out on 745 Development Drive. Registration is $70. On Saturday, September 21st, the Kingston Public Market runs from 8:30 to 4 p.m. in Springer Market Square. Also on Saturday, the Friends of Lemoyne Point Fall Tree, Shrub, and Wildflower Sale will take place from 9 till noon at the Lemoyne Point Conservation Area. Princess Street Promenade also returns on Saturday from 10 to 5 p.m., running down Princess Street from Barrie to Ontario. Folks can also check out the Foraging for the Seasons workshop running at the Calvin Park branch of the Kingston Frontenac Public Library from 1 to 3 p.m. and learn about foraging wild edible foods. You can also enjoy a free observatory tour and astrophysics talk.
called From Dust Grains to Stars and Shots in the Dark by Queen's PhD candidate Pariza Nosari, a public event at the Queen's Observatory taking place from 7:30 to 10 p.m. You can also have a chance to look through the telescopes in the night sky, weather permitting. On Sunday, September 22nd, get up early and head over to Runner's Choice for an early morning long run starting at 8:30 a.m. Also on Sunday, the Kingston Intercultural Arts Festival runs from 11:30 to 7 p.m. at Confederation Park. And finally, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 to 2 p.m. featuring food, artisanal crafts, and music. In concerts for this weekend, tonight you can see Casador with Sparrow Blue, The High Loves, and Julia Finnegan at the Broom Factory starting at 7:30. Tickets are $23. You can also join the Happy Hour TGIF at the RCHA, featuring a performance by the Smokin' Roosters, a free event starting at 4 p.m. Then stick around for Whiskey Smoke, a country duo, featuring Amanda Sorensen and Mike Grice at the RCHA for $5 starting at 8 p.m. Also on Friday, you can enjoy some chill folk rock by Chris Kagir and the Larks for free at Niziki Cafe starting at 8 p.m. Ottawa folk rock artist Graven with Stephen Stanley will play a show at Hotel Wolf Island on Friday starting at 7:30. Tickets are $25. Wrapping up tonight, starting at 8 p.m., folks can dance it up for free at Springer Market Square with music by DJ Trueways. Tomorrow, on Saturday, September 21st, folks can drive out to Westport for West Porch 2024 to enjoy live, free country, bluegrass, jazz, blues, folk, rock, and more from Front Porches in downtown Westport, a free event running all day. Also on Saturday, you can go see Mo Kenny, Piner, and Marlo Green at the Broom Factory. The show starts at 7:30 p.m. and tickets are $20. Dead Root Revival will also play at the RCHA on Saturday night starting at 8 p.m. Tickets are $20. CFRC's very own John McClurge will also play a show at the Cove Inn in Westport by donation starting at 5 p.m. You can also see the China Cat Riders with Cherry Garcia Band for free at Hotel Wolf Island on Saturday night starting at 8:30 p.m. Finally, wrapping up the week on Sunday, September 22nd, you can enjoy a show by Jake Battleland and the Sturgeon River Boys at the Broom Factory starting at 2 p.m. Also on Sunday, check out the Brickhouse Polka Band and Celtic Kitchen Party at Daft Brewing starting at 1 p.m. Tickets are $25. You can also enjoy some dinner time jazz by donation at Hotel Wolf Island starting at 4 p.m. Finally, on Sunday, Christina Foster and Anna Sudak are also playing a show in support of Little Cataraqui Creek Conservation Area's 60th anniversary. The show at Little Cat starts at 1 p.m. and is $5. That is all things current in Kingston for this week. Thank you for listening to CFRC's local news programming, brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. To listen on the go and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage funky one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear. The Kingston Music Office and CFRC 101.9 FM are pleased to present this week's Release Radar featuring local singer-songwriter Chris Giguere with their first single called Something New. Released last month, the track blends a little bit of blues, a little bit of rock and roll, marking a stylistic shift for Chris. With gritty guitar and soulful horns, this ode to a lifelong love affair will have you hooked from the first listen. You can also catch Chris Giguere live on stage on September 15th from 1 to 4 p.m. at McKinnon Brothers Brewing, and on September 20th from 8 to 11 p.m. at Musiki. Don't forget to follow Chris at Chris Giggs Music, the Kingston Music Office at visitkingston.music, and CFRC at CFRC Music on Instagram. Now, here's Something New by Chris Giguere.
Mm-hmm. something I've never done before. It's something I've been meaning to try. I've been yearning for something more. I can't get started and I don't know why. Well, there's something I've been meaning to say. I'd say it with flowers if it was 1858. I know that's not the date. I'm waiting for the perfect time. The Eiffel Tower has been on my mind. You make me feel brave, I can't explain it. I wanna do something new with you. You save me from myself and I need it. I wanna do something new. That I've been hoping for, but I'm afraid of my own desire. I keep my eye on it from afar. Close the window and open that door. You make me feel brave, I can't explain it. I wanna do something new. Longer than we were apart. It's hard to see where you begin and where I start. Oh, like mine, but not much alike. Moving side by side, not always eye to eye. You make me feel brave, I can't explain it. I wanna do something.
Somehow never loved you, but always loved me. lot like me. Through every allegation, people still love and support them. When all you wanted was to